Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we will hear from Pastor Bill on Together in Purpose. Now here is Pastor Bill.
Hey, well, good morning, everybody. What a great day it is to be in the house of the Lord. In a moment, I'm going to open up God's Word here, and I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. So I want you to join me in reading that and believe that God has a word for us today. You were handed, or you should have received, or they're available in the lobby, a card like this that says, Pray Together. Pray Together. The purpose of the card is to keep your focus on those who are serving so well here at Portland Christian Center. Some of them you don't know because you're not involved in that particular area of ministry, but we felt it would be helpful for you to have the names of all the pastoral team members and what they do, and then you'll find a list of all the current deacons who are serving the church and walking us through this pastoral search. And what I'm asking you to do is take some time to use this card and pray over these wonderful people who are serving us. Aren't you grateful for godly people who say, yes, I'll be there when I'm needed? And I have 650 pastors that I oversee in the state of Oregon. 650. And they come in all shapes and sizes and all backgrounds and experience. And I want to just say, when I look through this list, you have some extraordinary leaders who are all in. They're dedicated, they work hard, they've done everything they know to do at this very significant time, and they're here because God put them here for such a time as this. And I'm going to ask you to pray for them. And these deacons, I've met them, they all love me, so I like them. So you know what I'm saying? They're just wonderful people. They're really working diligently. They have a meeting on Thursday of this week to oversee the business of the church, but also to continue to work on this huge assignment of searching for that next pastor. And they're making great progress, by the way, great progress, and you'll get updates on that. Now, here's what I need. I need 100 people, 100, to meet me on Wednesday night here in this sanctuary. Joy and I are gonna be here, and we're gonna gather for prayer. And I'm going to lead you through a very important prayer of the Bible, but the focus of the prayer will be what God wants to do now and what he wants to do in the future. So I'm going to ask 100 people to join me. So whatever your plans were, the NBA finals, sitting by the pool, drinking iced tea, diving into the lake, staying home because you're exhausted. Now I want to admit something to you. When I pastored here for all these years, Wednesday night, when it came about 6 o'clock, I would say to myself, I am exhausted. And Lord, I'm about ready to go in and teach on a subject that I prepared, but I don't feel over prepared. Now there's a difference between preparing and being overly prepared. Preparing says, I really need God's help. Overly prepared, God, I got this. No problem, you can take a night off. And frankly, I never came to a Wednesday night where I didn't feel like I really needed God's assistance. And this Wednesday night, I'm asking you to join me, and we're gonna pray for God's assistance. So if you're even tired, show up. Because what will happen, at the end of the hour we're together, you'll feel more energized than you did when you started. I've seen it happen time and time again. So trust me on this, I need 100. I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand. I'm not gonna ask you to sign up. I'm going to ask those who are even watching online, hey, maybe Wednesday night's a good time to try to come back to the building. I want to encourage you. I need 100. And if I don't get 100 next week, I'm going to speak for 2 hours, okay? So, all right, we got that? All right, amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right. So bring the card with you. Keep the card. Have it there. I believe the Lord spoke to me this morning to say that there are some of you, either online or in person this morning, who don't even know if you believe in God. You're not even sure if God exists. You're here because your wife made you come, or your parents made you come, or you're not even sure how you got here. That story has been repeated time and time again. And I want to tell you that before the message is over, you're going to know something about God that maybe you didn't consider. You may have forgotten about God, but he has not forgotten about you. Isn't that wonderful? God still loves you, and you matter to him more than you will ever know. And I don't even know if what I say this morning will resonate with you. Hopefully it'll bring a smile to your face or just energize you. But I can assure you of this, that the same God who spoke to me when I was young, or the same God who spoke to others that are here this morning, is here to speak to you, and he will do that. So, Father, we just pray in these next few moments that we will hear from you and speak to those that are struggling, maybe even understanding who you are. And may we know that you know who we are, and may you touch us today in Jesus' name. Amen. What a summer this has been. I've been in the same church for 6 weeks. That has not happened in 14 years. Wow, I just put my car on cruise and it came right here. It was amazing. It was amazing. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about together and purpose. Now, back in March, I talked about purpose for your life. I really would like to talk about a collective purpose that we have as a church body, whether this is your first Sunday or not. Now, if you're fairly new here, you don't even know who I am, it's not really a big deal, but I'm the overseer. In some settings, I'd be like the bishop for the state of Oregon for all of our church family, known as the Oregon Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God. We have about 200 churches, and I oversee those. Joy and I had the privilege of coming here a number of years ago and serving as a youth pastor back when bell-bottom pants were really a big deal, and hair and mustaches and all that stuff was took me 30 minutes to dry my hair, let me just put it that way. That was back in the day. Then we had the privilege and honor, never dreamed that that would happen, to return and serve as lead pastor. So I am here because I love Portland Christian Center, and that includes you. And there's something in our hearts about this place, and I was asked if I would come and help in the time of transition as what they call interim pastoring. So that's what I'm doing. And we're talking about together. That's been the series. And so I'm getting acquainted with a number of you. You know what thrills my heart is how many new folks are in the church, have been coming. And so if I ask you what your name is 5 times, please forgive me. My name's Bill. Don't forget that. All right? Okay, so here we go. Have you ever used navigation? Do you use navigation when you travel? You know, either on your phone or in your vehicle. It's become one of my best friends. It's taken me places I never even knew existed. It's reminded me to turn right rather than left, to slow down and not go so fast. It helps me know that there's a police officer 1 mile up on the right-hand side. Navigation has been a great friend of mine. The navigation voice in my car is a female, which means that I have 2 ladies telling me how to drive. I've been reconsidering the navigation voice. I can't consider the other one. That's for permanent. So, by the way, I'm really glad you're here this morning, Joy. Thank you for coming. Because one of her favorite preachers is within driving distance of us today. And when I got up, I said, I wonder if Joy is going to go hear her favorite preacher, or I'm like number 5. So she showed up here. That's good. That's good. So Dick Foth doesn't get to hear her and see her today. He's one of my favorite buddies too. So navigation, however, sometimes is not always right. I put in an address and the navigation has often said, well, sorry, you're on your own. And recently, a few weeks ago, Joy and I were asked to go to a remote part of the state of Oregon to speak at a church. Never been there before. I had to look on the map to even find out where it was. And I'm not going to tell you because most of you probably said, well, I knew where that was. But it was in a remote area. And I guess there's several ways how to get there. There's the shortest distance, and there's the better distance. You follow what I'm saying? The shorter distance is by miles. It's shorter on the map. The better distance is a paved road. Now, some of you are getting excited already. It's time to put it in four-wheel drive. Well, I'd never been there before, so I assume we should take the shorter distance, right? Because navigation has never been wrong except several times. And so we took the shorter distance. We drove on gravel for 17 and a half miles. Joy said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Joy, we've walked together for 49 years. Have I ever been wrong?" We finally hit pavement again after 17 miles, and Joy experienced car sickness and other sicknesses. And we finally got there, only to be greeted by the pastor and said, "Well, great to see you, Pastor. I expected you to be here a little sooner." I said, "Well, I took the shorter distance." He said, "Oh, no, you didn't." I said, "That distance where you felt like you no longer had civilization, places where you didn't believe anybody would even live, gravel that kept going for miles just after I put a brand new windshield in my vehicle, hoping that it would not chip my windshield." We finally got there. So, as we move together, there are moments when you say, is shorter better or is going the right way better? And my prayer is the Holy Spirit will lead us in the right way, not just the shortest way. The right way. Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to pick it up at verse 14. Thank you, Pastor Matt, for leading us through the first part of Ephesians 3. And I have a lot to say here, and I'm going to say it very condensedly, I hope. But I want to tell you, I would not miss the next several sermons. I believe these are the most significant sermons I've ever preached on this platform in my life. The next few weeks are so strategic. Together in purpose. Verse number 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, frankly, this is a very rich section of the book of Ephesians. It has great content. Some of those verses have already resonated in your spirit, and you have heard them before. I love the way it starts here, for this reason. Now, if you read up in the first verse of chapter 3, Paul says the same thing. So he says it twice. This is the second "for this reason" that is stated. And what it's saying, in light of what has been said up to this particular moment, in light of the message of harmony, and in light of the message of togetherness that we've read about in the body of Christ, he says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. What a powerful prayer. Have you ever heard a prayer like this before? Has anyone ever prayed this kind of prayer that's impacted your life and it sticks with you? For this reason, I kneel before the Father. Some of you know my dad. He used to sit right down here in the second or third row. He attended here for a number of years. He now lives in sunny California with his 91-year-old brother. Can you imagine, 93 and 91, he's watching. I say that with compliment. They live together. But I grew up in a pastor's home. I've told you before, church was not an option. It was part of our life. I grew up hearing my dad in the family room, on his knees, praying for the church that we were attending or we lived in or we he led as a pastor. He was interceding for the church. And that's kind of the picture I get of Paul here when he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." And my prayer is that the church, Portland Christian Center, will live together in the purposes in which God established this local church. The purposes that God has. Not your purpose, not your program, but God's purpose. And what I have seen, listen very carefully, from the beginning to today, there have been seasons in which God's purpose hasn't changed, but his approach and methodology changes. And he even introduces programs and he takes them away. When he takes some of those programs away, it's painful because we like that program. But what he's doing, he's setting you up in order for you to fulfill his purpose and what he calls us to do. So he says in verse 14 and 15, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." In other words, this church is not our church. It's not, doesn't belong to me, the deacons, or any of you. All the members are just attenders, or those who are watching, or the denomination, or the national office. This is God's church. And we are all part of God's family. And our name is connected to his. In selecting a lead pastor in the coming months, there are many qualities that you're going to want to be looking for. I'm sure you will just pray, "Lord, help us get the right person." Here's some qualities to write down, to consider in God's purpose. We all want somebody who has character, right? Character. Someone we know who he has the virtues and the qualities of his life that demonstrate that he is truly a dedicated leader and follows the Lord very closely. That he doesn't exaggerate, or he doesn't cut corners, or he doesn't mishandle his personal life, or his motivations are pure. We want somebody with character. We want somebody who we could admire because they are a person of great character. Paul says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." We want somebody also, here's another word for you, who has charisma. We want somebody who is attractive in their manner. When they walk into a room, there's a presence about that person. They don't have to be an entertainer by any means. They need to be someone who has an anointing. The word charisma actually speaks of the Spirit. So somebody who has a God-given spirit of leadership and you feel compelled to follow them. This is a great quality. You want somebody who has charisma. You want somebody who can communicate, right? You don't want to get in the car and say, "I have no idea what they said." You want somebody who can rightly divide the Word of God, who knows how to completely share the Word of God in a way that's received. So it's not confusing, it's not way over your head or way under your feet. It's someone who has the skill and the anointing of God's calling to be a proclaimer and a teacher, a pastor. We'll see more of that in the book of Ephesians as we continue the reading of that. We want somebody who can communicate. And we want somebody who has compassion, somebody who really cares. It's not the show of someone just to walk on the stage, walk out that side door, get in their car, and leave. It's somebody who, when they stop and have a word of prayer with us, or that we can tell that they really are interested. And some of us are still learning how to do that, by the way. We're not perfect in any of these qualities, but these are things that we're looking for in a lead pastor. Obviously, they have to have experience. Now, some of you say, "Well, I want to add another C to the list, Pastor Bill. I want a cool pastor. I want a cool pastor. I want a pastor, when he walks in the room, he's got the right kind of shoes on, and he knows how to connect, and the kids love him because he's cool, and he's got, more hair than you, and he's cool." I want to just tell you something, and over the last year, cool is out. and warm is in. Cool pastors are not necessarily the most effective. Pastors who really care and are warm are very desirable. That's what you want when you have been given a diagnosis that isn't very promising, or when you're walking through a divorce or a family conflict, or you've lost your job. You're not looking for cool, you're looking for somebody who has compassion and who really, really cares. So sure, I want to be cool. Yeah. But I want to be called of God. And Paul prays, he prays, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Paul prays for strength in this prayer as we read through it. He prays for faith to rise up and fear to flee. Some of you are still living in fear. Please turn to the Lord. Don't believe everything that people say on the media or Facebook or what even the news media says. Don't believe all of that. Believe that, hey, God's still in control of my life. If he wants to take me home this afternoon, hey, I'm ready to go. If he wants to keep me here, he'll take care of me. Read scriptures like Psalm 91 and let them resonate in your heart that he builds a hedge around you and he protects you in these, what oftentimes is scary, scary things. That doesn't mean that we're ignorant, but listen, he prays for faith, he prays for power. He prays that we'll grasp the love of Christ and we'll know the fullness of God. So look at verse 17. It says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ." Praying helps us to understand how amazing and awesome God is. And it really keeps us on track. See, the world is messed up. Did you notice that? Is it just me? The world is messed up. And the world is always going to be the world. The problem is when the church tries to be like the world, that we lose our purpose, we lose our perspective, and we lose our power. And Paul is praying that that won't happen to us as believers, that together we'll always maintain that this is what God's called us to do, and that we will not lose our purpose. We'll not lose our perspective nor our power as we pursue the things of the Lord. So when I was a young teenager, I just went over 6 foot. This was a big deal, because that means I would be like one of the tallest kids in my freshman class at high school. That wouldn't happen today, but in those days, that's what it was. And I weighed 145, 155 pounds, somewhere in there, sopping wet. So you get the picture? A little different than what you see today, okay? And there was a lady in our church. There's always a lady in the church who seems to know God better than anybody else, right? And when you get around that lady, you feel like she knows every sin that you have ever committed. You're almost afraid that she will talk to you, lest she say, "Come over here, Billy, I have a word from the Lord for you." And you're just afraid. Well, there was a lady. Well, I don't even remember her first name, because in our church, we never call people by the first name, remember? It's all brother and sister. "Hey, bro, how's it going? Hey, sister." It was Sister Osborne. She was 4'10" on a good day. And I was walking up the aisle. Now, I'm the pastor's kid, so, you know, I owned every aisle. I owned every seat, I thought. So I could walk up any aisle I wanted to. And I'm walking up the aisle, and Mrs. Osborne steps out from her chair, and she looks right at me. And I said, "Oh, no. What have I done wrong? Please don't tell my parents." And she grabbed me by the shirt like this, and she took this tall boy who thought he was something and brought him down to her level. And she looked right at me eye to eye. And she said something to me that I will never, never forget. You probably want to know what she said. At the end of the sermon, I'll tell you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. This way you won't leave early. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. You've heard this, but this is great. Listen to this. Now to him who is able, everybody say able. Able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Here's God's purpose for us, together in purpose. God wants us to be on target, keeping the main thing, the main thing. PCC has been a church from its beginning that has surrounded and rallied from time to time around the purposes of God. To be a place where we could belong, a place that we could grow, a place that, this is silly, glow and go. Isn't that silly? That other preacher that's down the road, Joy, he probably wouldn't have used that, but I thought it was good. Belong, grow, glow, and go. But it's true. And that purpose has kept us on course. And there is no reason that we shouldn't stay on course today. So how can we live together in purpose? I'm going to just give you quickly. I've got three main thoughts and a bunch of little thoughts from this scripture. So we'll see how much, let's just try it, see where we go, okay? How many promise that you'll stay with me until you hear about Mrs. Osborne again? Okay. Number one, in order for us to stay on purpose, we must remain fully surrendered to Christ. This is really key. So look at verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through faith. The word dwell here means to live. Like he makes his home in your heart. You've heard these terms perhaps. So when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you surrender all and you put him in the center of your life. You take yourself off of the throne. You put him in charge. He's living in your heart. He's dwelling like you live in a house. He dwells in you. You've opened up your life to him. You've given him that closet that you let nobody in before. You've even given him the junk drawer, and you've given him all, and you surrender your life. And the way that we stay on purpose is that everybody here this morning, and those of you who are online with us today, will surrender fully to Christ, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now, of all people to write this, Paul the Apostle is writing. Now remember, Paul was not a believer. He was well educated. Acts chapter 7 in the New Testament describes him standing, holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen, who was the first martyr of the early church. He had a hatred for Christians. He had a hatred for the message of the gospel. That's Saul was his name. In Acts 9, he had an encounter with the Lord. It changed his life. This is why, during the riots of Portland and Antifa and all of the groups that fly in here and get paid money to start riots, get on a plane and get out of town and leave a bunch of young people disillusioned or maybe arrested, and they just along for the party. This is why I believe that God has the power to arrest the hearts of some of those leaders and turn them into evangelists rather than rioters. If he can do it for Saul, he can do it for anybody. And I believe this is true in our political field as well. Some of the people, when their name is mentioned, you don't like them. Rather than not liking them, pray that they'll have a revelation of God and change their lives. And even though they stand for things that are totally opposite of your values and the values of God's word, and seem to fight against the church and the desperate times that we live in, be aware of the fact that God can save even the worst of sinners. And he can even save politicians and riot causers. He can save anyone who will hear the voice of God. And it may take a revelation from God. It may take a midnight dream that wakes them from their sleep. And Jesus walks into the room like he has done with thousands of people around the world where they didn't hear a preacher, they didn't hear a Christian song, new or old, they didn't hear anybody pray out loud. Jesus visited them because somebody like you and somebody like me was saying, Lord, I don't know who this person is, but I believe you want them to come to know you. So when we fully surrender to Christ, these are the experiences that we can accept. And Paul knows this from firsthand experience. He became not a riot starter, but a missionary. He became a missionary, and he followed God's purpose in his life. So I just want to encourage you. That's the testimony of PCC, Portland Christian Center. It used to be known as First Assembly of God, and then it was known as Gospel Tabernacle back in the day. And in these transitions of names, it's still the history of the church, coming up on 100 years of history. Amazing. My neighbor Leroy Moody is sitting down here, is working on some of that history. Not because he's been here all those 100 years, I just want you to know. No. But his own testimony is a result of the church remembering its mission to reach out to two young teenage boys and invite them to come to church. That's how it started. That's how it started. And that's how it starts with anybody. And we better be prepared. We cannot afford to have empty doors when people walk into the building. We've got to have people there smiling, welcoming, because who knows, the next Leroy Moody might be walking through the door. It may be your grandson, it may be your child, it may be their next door neighbor, it may be somebody you've never met. Just 2 weeks ago, I stood at the door. Two amazing young women were here. One works for a major medical firm here in town. One works for another major company. If I mention it, everybody knows. You probably have it on your feet from time to time. They came because the postman invited them to come. My prayer was, when they came, were they accepted? Were they welcomed? Did they sense the presence of God with people who really loved Jesus? My prayer is that they did. And they said, I got to go back. Which leads me to the second point that I'd like you to write down quickly. Everybody say quickly. Remain filled with the love of Christ. This is the second part of the prayer. He says, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love. So he uses two terms here, rooted. He's describing a tree that's been planted. And remember, you know, in our neighborhood when they planted those young trees along the street, because that's the requirement, they put stakes up. Why did they do that? Because they knew the elements could push them over. Or guys like me who didn't like the tree could push it over. I wouldn't do that, but I'm just saying. And so they put the stakes until the roots took place in that ground and rooted the tree. And then they came along and they took the stakes out. And they stand strong. And they stood strong through the winter storms of this last year. So he says, rooted in love. So your roots are deep in the love of Christ. And established, or one version uses the word grounded. And now he uses the idea, a picture of a foundation being put in a building. So a long time ago, I came up onto this property and there was nothing here, nothing, except a few old shacks. There were several plots of land that make up this 13 acres that Portland Christian Center now possesses. Maybe a little bit more now with the corner property. And I saw, Leroy, you'll remember this as well, deep, deep, deep foundation being built. I remember it was pouring rain, and they had the big foundation. We're standing right where I was. And I just want to tell you, this building's not going down the hill. It's not going down. It's not sliding down there. I'm just telling you. Isn't that reassuring? Yeah, I mean, we want a move of God, but we don't want the building to move, right? And so the foundation, he says that we are rooted, and we're also secure and sure of our foundation. Why? In the love of Christ. Because God has made you, he cares about you, you matter to him. I said to a young teenager recently, I asked, hey, how was the last year in your life? And they said it was terrible. Now they used other terms that I wouldn't use publicly, but they said it was terrible. It was horrible. I said, what happened? I said, even online, kids bully you. They don't like your appearance. And I said, well, how did you get through? And they looked at me and said, the only way I got through is because I know God loves me. Listen, friend, whatever you're going through, it may not be fair, it may not be easy, it may not even be right. But I want to tell you, It doesn't matter the color of your skin, the background you have, what church you grew up in, or maybe you grew up in a no church, maybe you came from a very functional family, ideal, family, or maybe you came from a family you're not even proud to even mention your background. Like those kids that we all ministered to this last week in the Royal Family Kids Camp. What a story. Someday I'll tell you that story. It's amazing how that even started. The whole thing is they see the love of God, and God matters, and they matter to God, and they should matter to us. We're filled with the love of Christ. I got to move on. Number three, remain faithful to the mission of Christ. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Some churches focus in on one particular people group. They have been churches that have, we're going to focus all on the 20-somethings. So everything's programmed. There's a very well-known church in Portland that's the way it was started. It was all, and I went there, and there were hundreds of one age group there. I went to a church in New York City, and I walked in with my daughter. She had gone to run the New York Marathon, and so we walked in, and it was Sunday night, 9 o'clock at night. Who goes to church at 9 o'clock? They do in New York City. I walked into this famous church, and I'm looking around, and guess what? I was the oldest person in the room. I've been going to church all my life. I'd never been the oldest person in the room. They focused on a particular generation. Now, PCC is not that kind of church. Never has been and never will be. It's an all-generational church. We've had 5 and 6 generations at one time attending here, and that's healthy. So if you see somebody a little younger than you, say, thank God they're here. Keeps me young. If you see somebody that's a little older than you, thank God they're here. I need their wisdom. So the church, Portland Christian Center, is a multi-generational church. We're not focused in on one group of people. We're here to minister to a large, wide perspective. That's the mission of God, in my opinion. The mission of God is sending, and that's what this church has been all about. Now, this is important, together in purpose. Now, I like the Olympics, and I've always been fascinated by a sport that I've never participated in, and that's rowing. There have been times when Portland State University down here in the Willamette have, or over here in the Willamette, or up there in the Willamette, or down there, wherever it is, it's in the Willamette, you see them practicing, and they're all rowing together. That's why the U.S. Olympic teams, both men and women, have done so well over the last decade, because they work together. They're on mission. They want to cross the line. If you want to Google something, you can go on and Google this, and you can see the U.S. women crossing ahead of, I'm sure it's England, crossing ahead of England a lot of way, way up there, and England's way back there. And just write that down, Joy. America has gone way up there. And they why? Because they're working together. Now, last night, the U.S. basketball team played Nigeria, and something happened that never has happened in history. Nigeria beat the U.S. team last night. It was awful. And I want to tell you why. This is really deep. The Nigerian team wanted to win, and they saw that they could win. And all the superstars on the U.S. team, they're loaded. Even Damian Lillard was there last night in Las Vegas playing. They lost. And my personal opinion, and I've played the sport, but I just was watching. The Nigerian team wanted the win, and they played together. Many of the players were no names. Joy kept saying, where are these people from? I said, well, some of them play in the NBA, and some of them are college athletes, and some of them play in other leagues around the world, but they're from Nigeria. Why? Because they were faithful to the mission of playing basketball. Now, our mission is far greater than that. Our mission is far greater than that. I ask, what's God going to do in the next 5 years at Portland Christian Center? I'll tell you what, he's not going to take us back to where we used to be. We're not going backwards, we're going forwards. God has a wonderful plan. If you ever want to get a conversation started, ask your server today at noon, hey, what do you want to be doing in the next 5 years? Stop a young millennial. Hey, what's going on in the next 5 years in your life? A lot of times they say, I don't know. That cannot be the answer of the church. We don't know. We may not know all the details. We may not know what he looks like or she looks like, what, that will lead us in the days ahead. But we do know that God's in control. And he has said to us that he can do more than we can even imagine or think. Look at verse number 21. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Musicians, come, because I'm not going to tell the Pioneer 10 story. I don't have time. But I would like to tell you some things that I think are very critical about the days ahead of us. Is a healthy church is a church that's on mission. And that mission is to worship God, not yourself. That mission is to provide instruction in the Word of God. Non-compromising teaching of God's Word. That mission is to fellowship, koinonia as we refer to it. Here's a good question to ask people rather than, are you new here? Don't ever ask somebody, are you new here? Here's a better question. How long have you been coming to Portland Christian Center? There was a couple who used to sit over here. I never met them because they came late and they always left early. I come to find out they've been coming here for 18 years. And I realized I should never ask, are you new here? I should ask, hey, how long you been coming? That's just a little pastoral suggestion that will help you in conversation. And fellowship is so important that people are trying to find it now again. And I want to encourage you to get ready. If you see someone you've never met before, just walk over and say, hey, my name's Leroy. I've been coming here for many years. How long have you been coming? And you will discover perhaps your next best friend in life. Church is about evangelism, reaching out. And it's also about service, engaging your skills and talents. So Mrs. Osborne grabbed me. Okay, remember her? You're waiting. 4'10", grabbed me by the lapel, pulled me down and looked me right in the eye. And this is what she said. Bill Wilson, I want you to know I pray for you every day. That's all she said. And at first, this is what I thought. I never said this out loud. Sometimes it's better not to say stuff out loud. I said, don't you have anything better to do? I've looked back on my life since that day when I was about 14, 15 years old and realized that Mrs. Osborne's prayers were necessary for me. And Paul says that he kneels down and he prays earnestly for us. And he's praying for you, and I'm praying for you. Before I came out, I knelt down in the office in the back. Never been in the office, it's magnificent. Little dark room. I knelt down and I just said, Lord, do something for these who've come, and he's gonna do that. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. Father, we thank you this morning that you keep us together in purpose. And we pray today for Portland Christian Center, these wonderful people who are sitting here, some for the very first time. Lord, I know today you spoke to somebody, you healed somebody, and you're about to receive someone into the family of God as they confess their sin. You're encouraging somebody this morning. You're speaking a word over somebody today. We receive it. You're turning this city around. You're raising up prophets and proclaimers in the streets of Portland. You're bringing the rioters who have led riots into salvation, and they'll become evangelists. We believe that in our hearts today, and we see it in our mind, and we thank you for it, Lord. Give us some more Pauls, we ask in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed, let's just all stand. With your heads bowed this morning, how many of you are here that just say, I'm all in with Jesus. I just give him my life. Just raise your hand up. I give him my life today. Thank you. Let's all pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I surrender all to you. I give you my life. Use me as you will. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Let's all sing together, shall we?
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com. Or join us for our live streams at the 9 or 11 a.m. at live.pcctoday.com.